Welcome, welcome, welcome to Ascend Live. I'm your host, Justin Bader, and this is Ascend Live for May 30th, 2021. And our focus in this episode is on getting good references. It is so important to have your references speak highly of you when they get the phone call. And they get the phone call before you get the phone call, right? If you had an interview, you're waiting to find out if you go on to the next round, your references are going to get that phone call before you do. And it's critical that they say something nice about you, that they say only good things about you when that phone rings and they pick up and they're asked to speak to your qualifications. So our essential question for this episode is, how can I ensure that my references will help me get the job? You want your references to not only pick up the phone, but you want them to actually help you. And there's a little bit of nuance here, because you want them to not just say nice things about you, you want them to say nice enough things. Sometimes, as we will see as we go through our show tonight, sometimes your references will say only nice things about you, but they're not the right nice things. And in fact, what they're actually doing is they're subtly sending a red flag signal to the person who is calling them and letting them know, hey, this person actually is not that great. So we're going to talk about how that shows up. We're going to talk about what to do if you are in a situation where you have to provide a reference for someone that you don't feel really great about giving more responsibility to. So stay tuned for that. Let me know in the comments if you are here. Just say hi or give me an emoji or a thumbs up or something. Let me know that you are tuning in, and we will get right to this essential question. And I'm going to answer as many questions as I can about references. So please come at me with your questions, fire away with your questions about reference checks, reference letters, recommendations, writing them, receiving them, what to do within various scenarios. Let me know what you're dealing with as far as references, and I'll do my best to answer your questions tonight. But at least let me know that you're here, leave a comment. And if you have other questions about different aspects of the Ed Leadership job search, that's totally fine. I'm going to try to spend as much time as I can on references, because I know this is a time when people's references are getting checked a lot. And when people are not moving forward in the process, this is a time of year when people start to wonder, are my references helping me or hurting me? What's going on? So leave a comment, let me know that you are here, and that will help me know that everything's working technically, and we will get right into it. We're first going to talk about when references get checked. And this is pretty important, because, you know, if your references are caught off guard, or if you are caught off guard by a reference check occurring, that's going to be an unpleasant surprise for everyone. So the first thing we've got to talk about is that references are typically checked after a first round interview. Now, there are some exceptions, like for superintendent positions. If you're up for a senior position where perhaps there's a search firm vetting all of the candidates, it's very common at the superintendent level for references to be checked before anybody is called in for an interview, because they don't want to waste the time of their client, the school district, by getting people who are not vetted. So at the superintendent level, it's a little bit different. But if you are applying for school admin jobs, it's normal for references to be checked after the first round interview. And if there is a screening process that takes place before people are put into a pool, it may even be after a second round interview that references are checked, after someone has been interviewed once for a specific position and then is moving on to that kind of finalist, or at least second round place, because they, you know, it's time consuming to check references. They don't want to check references if they don't need to. So if they are not seriously considering someone, they're probably not going to check references. But here's the thing. It is entirely possible that someone on your hiring committee, that, you know, who's interviewing you or screening you or involved in some way, it's entirely possible that someone involved in hiring knows one of your references. And it's not uncommon at all for people to pick up the phone and call people they know and say, hey, I see that so-and-so that works with you has applied for a position with us. What do you think? What can you tell me? And when those relationships are there, this could be a really great opportunity for you, because you're getting a foot in the door earlier. Your references have a chance to make a difference for you earlier in the process than they normally would. So it is not a hard and fast rule, but for the most part, references are going to be checked after the first round interview, or if that first round is really just kind of a very broad screening and then you go into a pool, it may actually be after the second round. But it is not going to be so late in the process that you're the only candidate left, right? It would be a mistake for the interview team to wait until they had no choice but one person and then check references and then find out, actually, this person's no good. We need to go back to the drawing board. So it's going to be when there are still multiple candidates being considered and prior to that that kind of final round. And you've got to understand that this is when this is happening for the most part, but again, no hard and fast rules. So we want to be ready anytime. We're going to talk about letting your references know that you're applying and letting them know that they may get phone calls any moment in just a moment. So if you're wondering about that, please fire away with questions and we will see what comes up. I want to talk first about the biggest red flag. We've got to deal with this particular red flag. If you do not list your current supervisor, if your reference at the top is your supervisor from 2 years ago, and then you have a different administrator that you worked with 2 years ago, and then some older references, but there's no current reference, that is a big red flag to the reviewer, and it will jump out. It will hurt you even at the screening stage. So you want to make sure that you have a current supervisor type person listed. Now, the thing is, you do not have to actually list your current supervisor as one of your references. Now, they may ask you on an application who your current supervisor is, and if they do, go ahead and list that person, right? You don't want to be honest, you don't want to leave out information, but you are under no obligation to list someone that does not like you on your list of references that you include with your resume. You are in control of who you put on your reference list. So let me give you a scenario here. And let's see, I think we actually have a question about this. Yeah, we do. We have a question. I don't have a good relationship with my supervisor. What should I do since I know my references will be checked? Let's say you are in a situation where your principal is your direct supervisor and does not like you, just has it in for you in some way. Well, your principal is the most obvious and most plausible direct supervisor, but it's also plausible that if there are assistant principals on your campus, it's perfectly plausible that your assistant principal could be your direct supervisor. So if you have an assistant principal who likes you and who will give you a good reference, but your principal, who's actually your evaluator, will not give you a good reference, list your assistant principal who likes you at the top of your reference list. Now, again, don't put false information on applications. If they ask you who your supervisor is, be honest about that. But chances are good that they're gonna look at your reference list and they're gonna call the first person on the list, right? Current position, current, admin team, you just say assistant principal, current school, whatever, and list that person who likes you. You do not have to list your current supervisor at the top of your reference list, but you do have to list someone who is plausible as a supervisor, right? So again, we're not sharing false information, but we're also not encouraging them to call somebody who is not going to be helpful to you. Okay, so that is part of the story there. If this person is known by the person who's doing the screening, who's doing the reference checks, or if you say, I work at Jefferson High School, and the principal doesn't like you, so you put the AP. Well, if the person who's checking references knows who the principal at Jefferson High School is, they're gonna pick up the phone and call the principal and talk to them. There's not really any way to get around that. So we'll talk about some different ways that you can deal with a situation where a supervisor is sabotaging you and really causing some damage. Let me know what kind of scenarios you are dealing with. This is a great question from Jennifer. How far back can I go for references? How far back can I list references? This is a terrific question, Jennifer, and I will get back to you. I know I owe you some feedback on some things. So you can go back quite far. A couple of things to keep in mind with older references are, first of all, that you want to make sure that your top references can be reached, right? Anybody where you're providing a phone number and you're assuming that they're going to, to be checked, that somebody's going to call and speak to someone about you, you want to make sure that that person can actually be reached. And that's very difficult with retired people. If you have retired references, which is very common, make sure that you've got a cell phone number. If this person has moved to another state, make sure that it's a current number. Let them know that you're looking so that they're more likely to answer the phone. A lot of people, when they retire, really have the attitude that, like, they're really retired and they're really not going to answer the phone or do anything that smells like work anymore. So you know, it can be difficult to get older references to speak to your qualifications. The best way to use older references who don't want to be on the phone anymore and don't want to be there for you in that way is to get them to write a letter of recommendation, because it doesn't cost them any time on an ongoing basis to have that letter being sent out, right? If you can get a recommendation in writing, it's kind of a one-time thing. It's okay if they're not reachable. But those older references, you don't want to list them first, right? Your current supervisor or somebody who plausibly could be your current supervisor needs to be first. And I would say probably your first several references need to be reachable. But it's okay to have older references that are a little bit harder to reach, especially if you have good recommendation letters from them. So I think that is a great question. Let me know if that's helpful. Amanda says, ask for a reference that addresses your strengths in your application. Indicate what you did at that institution. Absolutely. Love that, Amanda. Thank you very much for that comment there. All right, so if you don't have a good relationship with your supervisor, again, try to get someone else who's at the same level who could plausibly be your supervisor. Don't claim that they're your supervisor, but you want to have as many people as possible speak to your qualifications, because the more people who are in your corner, the less obvious it's going to be if someone is not helping you out. So hope that is helpful. Let's look at a few other questions here. Grab the last of my coffee here. All right. What about, I saw this one in a Facebook group. This is a paraphrase. I didn't want to take someone's exact words, but I saw a situation where someone said, my principal said I'm too good a teacher. My student test scores are too high. I'm too valuable in the role that I'm in now. So she would not give me a good recommendation. What should I do? Now, when I hear this one, that an administrator is sabotaging a teacher who wants to move into administration or wants to move into a coaching role because they're so valuable in their current teaching role that it would be too great a loss to the school to lose them to what essentially would be a promotion. I have to say, I think this type of scenario is deeply unethical. I think it is really, it's immoral for someone to hold back your career because they don't want to have to go through the hassle of replacing you, right? I feel very strongly that our best teachers should become administrators if they want to, right? Our administrators should come from the ranks of the best teachers, not just the people who are not very good at teaching and need something else to do. Although, you know, there are many paths into administration. I certainly feel like this is not a dynamic that is healthy for the profession, right? We want the best teachers to be considered for admin jobs if that's the path they want to go. Not that people should have to go into administration if they're great teachers, but this whole sabotage scenario, you're too good a teacher, so I can't let you go into administration even though you really want to and you'd be great at it, that's just wrong. So what do you do if someone has done that to you, if your supervisor has told you that? I would say it may be necessary to make a lateral move and find a position at the same level. So a teaching position or some kind of similar position that you wouldn't really consider a promotion. It's not necessarily what you want to move into. A lateral move can be a great way to shop for a better supervisor, right? If someone is so afraid to lose you that they are going to sabotage your career just to keep you in what they perceive as your place, you got to get away from that person. You've got to make a move and do what is going to work for you, because often it is much easier to make a lateral move without a promotion than it is to without the support of your current supervisor, right? So if you have the support of your current supervisor, it's easier to get a promotion. If you don't have the support of your current supervisor, it's not that hard to make a lateral move because probably your skills are very in demand at the current level, right? Like if you're kind of like overqualified for your job now, you've got a lot of experience, you've got a great reputation, you've got lots of letters of recommendation, you've got lots of experience you can speak to in an interview. If you're overqualified for your current job, it's going to be much easier to get a different job that's similar with a principal who is going to support you and going to recommend you. And, you know, they might be sad to lose you after just a year or two, but it's going to set you up long-term for a better career trajectory than working with someone who's just told you up front that they're trying to sabotage you. So yeah, if you're getting to that point where somebody is admitting to you that they're sabotaging you, you got to get away from that person because that is just absolutely toxic. Brian says, our role is to support, not to hinder. I love that, Brian. Thank you for that comment. Absolutely. All right. keep your questions and comments coming. Let me know what questions you have about references, reference checks, recommendation letters, and all that. This question came in a couple of different forms, but let me know if this speaks to your situation. I have some old recommendation letters that are good, but out of date. Should I continue to use those recommendation letters? Great question there. And hopefully you have been asking for recommendation letters all along. You're not waiting until the last second. You're not waiting until you've got one foot out the door. You want to ask for recommendation letters frequently. In fact, if you have administrators who come and go a lot in your school, like if your school has a lot of assistant principals cycling through, you know, you get a new one or two new assistant principals every year, you probably want to be asking those assistant principals for recommendation letters because you're not going to be able to ask them 3 years from now, right? So this is a big one. If you are a year away from applying for positions, right? If you're just starting to think about this now, maybe you're finishing your admin certification program, go ahead and ask, even if you're not searching yet, because it may be that the people who know you well now will be gone by the time you're ready to actually apply. So constantly be asking. You know, anytime you get a new administrator, anytime you get somebody new that you're working with, you know, build that relationship, get to know them, do some good work together. But by the end of the year, you want to ask for a recommendation letter so that you can add that to your portfolio of letters, not something that you'll turn in as a portfolio, but just your personal kind of stash of letters. And you want to be able to use those long term. So this question again was about using letters that are out of date. You know, should I stop using them if they spoke to work that I was doing years ago and I'm no longer doing that particular job, or it's just not relevant to what I'm doing right now? I actually have what might be a surprising answer to this question. I love old recommendation letters. I think they're fabulous because they show potential. They show trajectory, right? They show that rocket that's on its way to the moon. So even if it takes you a few years to land the kind of position you're looking for, even if you started this journey 5 years ago, if you have a recommendation letter from 2015 that shows what a great job you were doing at whatever your job was then and what leadership potential you had way back then, that is just incredible. And I remember reviewing some recommendation letters for a client pretty recently. Their letters from 5 years ago made them sound like they were ready 5 years ago for the job they're applying for now. And their letters right now show that they're even further along. So the story, like the narrative that the reader pieces together from reading these recommendation letters. So the top of the stack, there's a current letter. It just lays out the case that this person is super, super qualified. And then you go to the next letter and the next letter and the next letter. And as you go down in the stack, you can see the person's kind of backstory, right? You can see further down into their history that, oh, this person did not just come out of nowhere last year. This person has been headed in this direction. This person has been on a trajectory for a number of years, and they're so ready that if we don't offer them a job, somebody else is going to. That is what you want the reader to feel as they go through your recommendation letters. So, old letters, yes, absolutely use those old letters. Just don't start with them, right? Here's the thing. You want to have a current letter on top, because if you have an old letter on top, even if you have newer letters further down, putting an old letter on top of your stack of recommendation letters makes it look like you've got something to hide, right? So let's say you have some letters that are 5 years old and some letters that are current, right? And you've got a PDF that you're uploading to whatever online application thing you're submitting your application through. And in that PDF, let's say there are five recommendation letters in that stack. If the top letter is 5 years old, the reader is going to say, wait a minute, this is not a current letter. What's going on here? And they're going to have to hunt for the older letter that maybe is not as strong, but it's from a current supervisor. Like, you don't want to raise those kind of red flags. So put a current letter on top. You want that letter to be strong. You want to do everything you can to lead with a current strong letter. But definitely do include those older letters. Make sure they're dated so it's clear why they might be describing something that's not currently your job anymore. But yeah, I love older letters. Let's see. Yeah. So Jennifer's asking, what if I have a good letter of reference from someone in the past, but now they've kind of turned on me and they're not being helpful to me? Maybe they're going through some kind of personal crisis. In that case, I would continue to use the letter, but I would not list them as a reference. So find somebody else that you can plausibly list as a reference. And if you want to email me, Jen, we can talk about your specific situation. You know, not everybody who writes you a letter has to be listed as a reference. It's okay to include letter. And this is going to happen at some point. This is going to happen where you have a reference who retires and says, you know, screw everybody, I'm out of here. I'm never going to talk to anybody again. I'm retiring off the grid. Like, that happens. That's fine. That happens. You will have references who pass away, and that's, you know, that's just part of life. So it is absolutely okay to use recommendation letters from people who cannot actually be on your reference list because they're not reachable. So totally fine if that happens. And if you decide they're not reachable because you don't want anybody to talk to them, you don't have to list them. Just be aware they may get a phone call because they may be known to the person who is checking references. Hope that makes sense. All right, let's talk about the awkward conversation. This has come up several times recently. I'm looking for a new position, but I'm happy with my current job and I don't want to make things awkward with my supervisor. Should I ask for a reference, even if I think I'll stay another year? And this could take a couple of different forms, right? This could involve asking for a recommendation letter from your current supervisor who likes you, whom you like, who is planning for you to stay on, and whom you're willing to stay on for if you don't get a promotion. But, you know, you don't want to have that awkward conversation. Or it could just be you think they might get phone calls and you want to give them a heads up about that. What should you do? Well, first of all, do give them a heads up. Do not surprise your references, because a surprised reference is hardly ever a good reference. And it's certainly not the best reference that it could be, right? Because what happens is the phone rings, somebody picks up the phone. I still do this. You know, if you notice that kids, when they pretend they're picking up the phone, they do this because it's like a, you know, like an iPhone or something. But anyway, your reference picks up the phone and they say, wait, what? Justin? Justin's applying for a job and you're, I thought Justin loved his job here. What's going on? Why would Justin be applying for, this is terrible. All this is going through your reference's head, and the person on the other end is thinking, what's going on here? Why is this person hesitating? Why are they stammering? Why do they sound angry? What's going on here? What's going on is you have surprised your reference, and you don't ever want your references to be surprised. So you want to give them a heads up. You want to get on their radar. You want to say, hey, this is something that I am working on. This is something that I have been working on for a while. I really, love working with you. I love this job, but I am thinking about the future. I am thinking about what a good next step for me would be. And if the job is a promotion, then it's going to be understandable. Now, if it's a pay cut or a lateral move, then obviously that's going to be a little harder for someone to be understanding about. But if it's a promotion, I got to tell you, anybody who's been promoted appreciates the fact that other people would like to get promoted, right? So this is not a crazy situation that you should be asking for some opportunity to advance. So don't be afraid to have that conversation. Don't be afraid to say, hey, I love working with you. I love this position. I'm committed to this school, you know, for the school year. I don't have any intentions of leaving you high and dry, but I do have, Brian says, good relationships should include transparency. Yeah, absolutely. You know, you don't want to leave people in a situation where they're gonna have to replace you at the last minute. But at the same time, if you let people know, if you let people that you have an open, trusting, you know, communication with, then it's understandable that you're going to want to move on at some point. So don't be afraid to have that conversation. Don't surprise your references. Do let them know. Do ask for a recommendation letter, and don't be afraid to do that. All right, let's talk about some additional scenarios here. I keep making it past the first round, but never far enough to get an offer, right? So making it through the interview, being invited back for a second or third interview, but not actually getting the offer over and over again. First of all, let me say, if this has only happened to you once, don't assume that something terrible is going on. Like, you're not going to get every job that you're a finalist for, and that's just the reality. But if this is happening over and over and over again, there may be something to it here. I think one of my references may be sabotaging me. How can I find out? And what should I do? All right, so if you think you have a reference who is sabotaging you, how can you find out if that is the case? And what can you do about it? Well, one thing you can do is you can ask directly. Right? It's a little awkward. You can say, hey, I don't know if you've been getting reference checks for me, right? You know, if you've been getting phone calls or if you've been getting the forms to fill out. But, you know, as we talked about, I'm applying for jobs and would really appreciate your support. I know it's kind of one more thing. And I know the prospect of having to fill another position is not great. But, you know, I really see this as a next step for me and really you know, I'm committed to finding that next position. You know, what can you tell me? Are you getting those reference checks? Do you have any feedback that you want to give me? Anything you think I need to be working on? And based on how that person responds, you may get a sense of whether they're supportive or not, of whether they're sabotaging you or whether they're saying nice things about you. So if you do get that kind of, you know, that kind of indication, or if the people who are checking references tell you outright, look, your reference checks weren't good. We got a few nice things said about you, but your current supervisor's reference was not good. Usually they won't tell you, and I kind of think they shouldn't tell you if that's the case, but sometimes they will tell you. So it doesn't hurt to ask if you get turned down for a job. It doesn't hurt to ask, you know, did my reference checks make a difference? And sometimes they'll say yes, right? They have to be very careful not to tell you too much because they can get in trouble in various complicated ways for saying too much about why they didn't hire somebody, but doesn't hurt to ask and see if that's the case. And again, we've got to find a way to work around that person. So it may be taking a similar position in a different school. It may be listing a different plausible person as your first reference. Again, not making a false claim that they're your supervisor, but you know, kind of giving them someone else to think about when they're making those phone calls. So hope that is helpful. Let's talk about the secret red flag code, because this is one that you can use if you are writing recommendation letters, as well as one to be aware of if you are having letters written about you. So let's take a look here. Excuse me. The secret red flag code. When your references have nothing great to say, they tend to say things that are okay. So again, this cuts both ways. This is one to be aware of if you are writing the letter or if the letter is being written about you. If you don't have great things to say, well, what do you do to write a recommendation letter? Well, you say the things you can say, right? You say the basic things like, oh, they're a team player, they're hardworking, they're dedicated, they are punctual. Punctual in particular is one of those red flag phrases that sounds positive, like it's, well, the opposite of it is bad, so it must be good, right? Well, not really, right? The opposite of punctual would be, you know, like has attendance problems, shows up late, things like that. And that obviously would be bad, but it's not necessarily a great thing in your reference letter to have somebody talk about punctuality, because punctuality is not really a glowing qualification, right? It's not central to the position. So I call this perfunctory kind of comment. This is a perfunctory comment. If someone says you're hardworking, it's good to be hardworking. It's bad to be lazy. But again, that's probably not what distinguishes you as a candidate, simply that you're hardworking, because pretty much everybody's expected to be hardworking in this line of work, right? It's not really a compliment to say that you're hardworking. And that catches a lot of people off guard, because if it feels like, you know, if it's positive, it seems like it's a compliment. But the perfunctory nature of this, the fact that it doesn't distinguish you from other candidates, the fact that it's expected serves as a red flag. And that goes for being a team player, being collaborative, you know, anything that's just kind of basic, that's not really a kind of a glowing comment. So what do you do if you have those perfunctory comments in recommendation letters? Well, one thing that I think everybody should do if you're seeing that is have the conversation with the person who wrote the letter and say, hey, I noticed that you said I was punctual. Thank you for writing me the letter. I'm glad, I appreciate that you noticed that I'm punctual. That's something that I take pretty seriously. You know, it's not my main focus, but I feel like that's just something I need to be consistent about as a leader and as an educator. But I've heard some advice. You can quote me on this. You can say I've got some advice that that punctuality in particular can be kind of a red flag, because it's kind of expected. It doesn't really make someone stand out. So I guess what I'm wondering is, you know, if I can provide any examples of things that you know, that are maybe a little more notable that do make me stand out a bit, or if you feel like you know, if you feel like there's more experience I need, like if you really feel like I'm not ready, you know, I would love to know that. I would love to know what to work on, because, you know, I want to get the best possible recommendation letter. I want to have earned that from you. I don't want a letter that's not true. So I appreciate your honesty if you feel like this is where, you know, where I am. But I really want to make sure that, you know, that my whole application packet is just as strong as it can be. So have that conversation. It's super awkward, I know. But here's what will happen sometimes. Sometimes your reference, who has written you a letter saying how hardworking and punctual and collaborative you are, will say, oh my gosh, I am so sorry. I did not mean at all for this to be like an insult or to be a red flag or to be like a hidden message to the reader. You know what I actually did, Justin? I actually copied a letter that I wrote a couple years ago and I didn't even look at it very closely. I just changed the name. I wrote it for somebody else and I knew you needed a letter, so I just updated it a little bit. It totally didn't even occur to me that that would be a red flag to the, you know, to the reader. So I'm so sorry. Like, that could be what happens when you point out these perfunctory things in your recommendation letter. So if that happens, no problem. Just give them some more specific things that they can speak to. And if they're happy to fix it, great. If they're not happy to fix it, if they say, well, yeah, I mean, you are collaborative, you are hardworking, I just didn't know what else to say. Well, a couple of things could be going on there. One, they might just need some examples. So give them your cover letter, say, hey, here are the things that I, you know, I'm speaking to in my cover letter. If you wanna mention my work on that committee, great, that would be fabulous. So if they just need examples, give them examples. On the other hand, if they really think you're not ready, you want them to tell you that. And again, this is awkward. This is not super fun to have your reference sit you down and tell you, I don't really think you're ready yet. I don't think you're ready for more responsibility. But you want them to tell you that, not the people who are calling them and asking for a reference. And this is not fun, right? This is awkward. But this is what needs to happen, right? You want to hear that straight from the horse's mouth rather than have them talk about you to other people and sabotage you for jobs. Hope that makes sense. So again, another red flag. We talked about this briefly at the beginning. If you don't list your current supervisor, people will assume the worst. You don't have to list your supervisor in your reference list unless they specifically ask who is your current supervisor on the application. But you know, there are different ways you can present those in different orders. Thank you, Brian, for your comments. Wanted to acknowledge those. All right, let's see if we have some additional questions here. Let's see, we talked about this one. I don't wanna make things awkward with my supervisor. Go ahead, you're gonna cross that bridge anyway, so might as well do it now. We talked about references sabotaging you. Let me know if you have other questions about references, and I will do my best to answer those now. I want to put this all in context as we close, though, because I think this is really crucial for understanding the role that references play in your job search process. See, a lot of people think about references this time of year, right? This is May 30th when we're recording this show. A lot of people start thinking about references when they expect their references phone to imminently ring, right? But let me tell you, that is not the time to start thinking about references. So if you are a year out from your job search, if you're just finishing your program now, or maybe you're just halfway through your program, or maybe you're even just starting your program and you're thinking, well, how can I get my references on my side as early as possible? You are in luck. You have time that other people may not have. If they're in the middle of the job search right now, then they're gonna be at a disadvantage. If you are finding out about this way in advance, here's what I want you to understand. Your references play a crucial role much earlier in your job search than you might think. You want your references to start working now on your behalf, even before you write your resume and cover letter, even before you are applying for specific jobs. Because when you do that, when you get your references in your corner, they will start to put out feelers. They will start to activate their professional network on your behalf. If you say, hey, I'm just getting started in my admin cert program, but I want to let you know that I'm looking, I'm really hoping for you know, for an AP position in an urban middle school, and I know you know a lot of people around here. I know you can also recommend experience to me that I should gain, you know, books that I should read, trainings that I should go to, projects that I should take on. And obviously, you want to have this conversation with your admin internship supervisor, right? The leader that you're working with to get your internship hours. But have this conversation with as many people as you can, because all of their networks are likely how you are going to get your job. And when other people complain about politics, that's what they're gonna be talking about. Oh, they already knew who they wanted. Well, you want them to know who they're going to hire in advance, and you want that to be you. And the way that you do that is by asking for it and saying, hey, I'm gonna be looking, here's what I'm looking for. What can you recommend to me, and what can you recommend me to? This is the role of your references. And that happens even before you write your resume and cover letter, because what's going to happen is that they're going to help you get experience that you can then put in your resume and cover letter. They're going to help you figure out what makes you stand out. So even if we look even at the earlier stages of the Ascend trail map, we call this diagram the Ascend trail map, that shows the whole process of landing your next level instructional leadership role. It really starts with discovering your leadership superpowers. And sometimes it takes someone else to tell you what makes you stand out as a leader or why you should even become a leader in the first place. So listen to your references. Listen to those people who will tell you what you're good at and tell you what you could get better at and where you need some additional experience, and then get them in your corner, get them working on your behalf and putting the word out that you are a great candidate, someone who's not to be missed, and they will advocate for you, right? There's this concept of buy-in, right? Or of having built something or having invested effort in something, where if you work on something, you care about how it turns out, right? You're committed to it. You're an advocate for it because you helped, even if you just gave input, right? That is absolutely true in the mentoring world, right? So if you have a mentor, you have someone who you're interning with or somebody that you're just going to for advice, they want to see you succeed because they want their advice to go out into the world. They want their mentoring effort to pay off. So they will help you. Even if you think you're being a bit of a pain, even if you think you're asking for a lot, they'll tell you if you're asking too much. You want to have a good relationship and not take advantage, but they want to help you. They want you to succeed and spread the good mentoring that they gave you further in the profession. So do not be afraid to ask for the reference, ask for input, ask for advice, and certainly ask for recommendation letters. Now, the one thing you don't want to do is ask for recommendation letters at the very last minute. You do not want to put them under the gun. It's very disrespectful. It's very inconsiderate to ask somebody for a recommendation letter that's like due tomorrow. Hey, I need a recommendation letter. This is the first I've ever talked to you about it, but I need it by tomorrow. Don't do that to your references. So start early, start now, start building that relationship, open that conversation. It's a difficult one. It's awkward, but you got to have that conversation. All right, hope that is helpful. If you are looking for other help with the Ed Leadership job search, I had planned to take this down by now, but I don't have something else to put in its place. So I'm just going to keep leaving it there. The Ascend application bundle, the problem with this bundle is that it's way too valuable for what we're charging for it. I think you can get it for $19 when you try our Instructional Leadership Association membership, and it includes our cover letter generator spreadsheet, which I know I should be charging a couple hundred dollars for, but dozens and dozens of people have downloaded that to write unique cover letters that speak to their specific qualifications in just a few minutes. So really powerful cover letter generator spreadsheet. The Ascend job search diagnostic is included with that. By the way, all of this, if you are an Instructional Leadership Association member and you need the link, let me know. I'll send you the link to where you can find all of this on one page. We've got a trail map diagram kind of explaining each stage of the process. And if you take the quiz, that'll tell you kind of where to focus. The Ascend Leadership Journal, which has a new cover. I don't even have it printed out with the new cover, but the Ascend Leadership Journal is a fabulous resource. I've got one here on my desk. And what that has in it is a set of prompts and a set of logs that you can use throughout the year. Anytime, all throughout the year, to keep track of relevant leadership experience that you may be gaining, but that you may be forgetting about if you don't write it down. Things like committees you've served on, projects that you've worked on, problems that you've solved, conflicts that you've dealt with, all that stuff that's easy to forget in the moment, especially if it's unpleasant stuff, is great experience, but you can't use it if you don't document it. So I really want to encourage you to start using that Ascend Leadership Journal, just a tremendous resource. You get an instant PDF download with this bundle. Interview prep game plan. So if you have interviews coming up either, very soon or a little bit further out, we've got some very specific recommendations in that training. You get the slides. We don't usually provide slides, but the slides are included with that one. The resume blueprint to help you organize your resume in the ideal way to catch the reader's attention and get an interview. The entry plan template, we've got a whole bunch in this application bundle. So definitely check that out. And most importantly, probably is the cover letter training, because that's how you get your foot in the door. The spreadsheet will help you write write that very quickly. So if you're interested in any of those resources, do check that out at principalcenter.com/application. And I think that is it for today. Brian, thank you for your kind words. Kevin, thank you for your comment. Yes, shoot me a message. I'll get that link to you right away, Kevin. And great to see so many of our members here and district leaders tuning in. Hey, Rhonda, great to see you. All right, so keep at it. Hey, if you are a mentor, if you have interns, if you have teachers who are looking to move into the admin world, give them some of these ideas now, because what's going to happen is they're gonna think of this like, okay, here's what I want you to know if you are not looking for a job and you're trying to help people who are looking for a job. Often people will start thinking about this stuff now when jobs are posted, or after they miss out on some other jobs, then they start to think, maybe I need some help. They start looking now. I gotta tell you, my clients are done. Many of my clients already got jobs. And the reason they already got jobs is because they started in November. So please hear me on this. If you are helping other people, if you're gonna have interns, maybe you're gonna have an intern for the first time this coming school year, an admin intern, or if you know somebody who is finishing their program, they're gonna be looking, please let them know, do not start on this stuff in May. Do not start on this stuff in June. The time to start is November. So every year at the Principal Center, we've been doing this for 5 or 6 years now, where we have very specific job search resources that we make available, like the Ascend Leadership Journal and like all of the webinars. We start that on Black Friday. We started the day after Thanksgiving. And the reason for that is that this is work, right? All of this is work. It's a lot of work. These trainings that I just showed you, this is dozens and dozens and dozens of hours of my life over the last couple of months to put all of these together. And to be honest, it's a fair amount of work just to watch them all, much less implement all the advice in them. So for anybody who is starting now, please know you can jump right in and start with exactly what you need right now. And absolutely, you're gonna be better off for doing that than if you don't take advantage of those resources and those strategies and tools that are there. But you're gonna be in a much better shape if you start months and months ahead of your competition. So if you are advising aspiring or emerging leaders, please advise them to start thinking about this in November. Start thinking about it now for next year, honestly. But in earnest, we will start talking about this again in November. We're of course going to continue providing resources throughout the remainder of this hiring season, and that's going to stretch all throughout the summer. I mean, there's going to be hiring for months and months, but please encourage people to plan ahead. Encourage the people you mentor as rising instructional leaders to start thinking about this early, because this is work, and when you do the work, it shows, and people get the jobs because they're ready. So hope that is helpful. Rhonda, great to hear from you. Brian, thank you. Kevin and Amanda and Jennifer, so great to have your comments. Thanks so much for tuning in today. As always, shoot me an email if you're a client and you need help, or if you need pointers to any of our resources. If you don't have our practice interview questions, I'm gonna put this link in the chat. I don't have it in my slides today. principalcenter.com/interview, and I bet I can find this on my slides from a couple of weeks ago. If you don't have our practice interview questions, let me see if I can get you a little preview of what that looks like. We've got a great PDF of practice interview questions. If you have an interview coming up, you definitely want to make sure you are practicing. And yeah, there it is. Let's put that up on the screen here. principalcenter.com/interview 52 practice interview questions. Download those, print them out, write out your answers, and start practicing, and you will be much more prepared than if you do not do that. And I promise your competition is practicing. I see hundreds of people download those every week, so definitely check those out and get to it. All right, we are off next week, going to summer camp, taking the kids to summer camp. So I will catch you in a couple of weeks. Take care, and best wishes in your search. Bye-bye.